Today I want us to look at some few scriptures to remind us of who we are. And I like doing this quite often because many times Christian, the church, forget that they are privileged people. And we live like underprivileged people, yet we are highly privileged. One as if you were. We are highly privileged, but we live like underprivileged people on earth. And I want to remind you a few scriptures that reminds you that you are not just the way you think you are. You are highly privileged. If we can start with 1 Peter 2:9. That word privilege, the definition means one who has special rights, special advantages, and immunities. The opposite of the same, which is underprivilege, is one who have less rights, less advantages, less resources, and perhaps no immunities at all. That is the underprivileged. Most of the times we refer to the poor as underprivileged. And that's the definition. But today I would like you to consider yourself highly privileged. And you are not underprivileged. So that you stop living a life that is not yours. You have moved to a level that is not yours and you are operating in that level. That's why today I feel to challenge you, church, to challenge you, a child of God. Because you have privileges that many do not have. It says, but you are a chosen generation. That's the first level of privilege. If you are chosen, it means you are chosen among others. You are privileged to be chosen. That's the first level of your privilege. You've been picked among others, many, but you are privileged. Chosen generation. In other words, there has been other generations, perhaps before you, but you are a chosen generation, highly privileged generation. Then it says, a loyal priesthood, raised to a level of priesthood. Level of loyalty. You are no longer ordinary. You are privileged to sit with the loyal. You are seated at the loyal seat. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. That is where you are. You are not only are you seated there, but you have been chosen to be a priest. In other words, you are among the lot that is privileged. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. And if you are Bible history, if you are Bible scholar, you remember that the tribe of Levi, the priests, were highly privileged. They were not considered like other tribes. They were like a tribe by themselves. and they had privileges that others did not have. So as a priest, you are privileged. And then you are say, it says, you are a holy nation. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. What does that mean? Among the many nations, you are a nation that has been chosen and classified as a holy one by God. In other words, when he looks at you, he finds no iniquity, no sin. He is happy with you. That's who you are. A holy nation, his own special people. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. I don't know whether you're looking at those descriptions. I don't know whether are they called adjectives or whatever they are. Look at what you are. And I would like to repeat, but you are a chosen generation. If I were you and I had a pen, I would be writing those points. Because they describe you. You are a holy, you are a loyal priesthood. Number two. Number three, you are a loyal nation. Hallelujah. Number four, you are his own chosen people. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Now, we are not talking about anyone else, church. We are talking about you, Pastor Rusi. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. We are talking about you, Florence. We are talking about you, Chris. We are talking about you, Emmanuel. We are talking about you, Getau and George. Let us personalize, because most of the time, when we read the scriptures, we read them like they were written for someone else. And that's why we never get the message. Karibuni sana. That's why we never get the message. Because you read the Bible as it was written for other people and not you. So you read it as a story. You read it as a good fast for that particular day. You never internalize. You never personalize it. And this is a letter that was written to you, the Church of Christ. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. And it's a love letter. It contains all the benefits and all the privileges. But we have to change our attitude. How we read the Bible, how we study the Bible, it cannot be a history book. Of course, those of you that are doing theology, you'll study the history of it. But if you have got a good lecturer who is born again, because there are some of those professors who are never born again, they'll never allow you to personalize the scripture. It was written for others. But the scripture are written for you. So if you are sitting under a lecturer who is born again, it gets to a point where he gets excited as he is teaching, because he is also receiving the instruction and the message. And the word of God never grows old. And you can never be bold or have that now I have more than enough. Ati nimesoma, nimetosheka. No. You'll always receive something from it. And this word, as I said, it's a privilege to have this word. We are privileged because we are chosen, as we said, among other generation. We have been appointed as loyal priests. We are a holy nation. That was number three. And number four, we said, his own special people. You are God's special child. Amen. Thank you, Lucy. I heard your amen. You are God's special child. Amen. That is who you are. That is who I am. That is why we said we are privileged. And privileged, we saw the definition. It's someone with the special rights, advantages over others, and has special immunities. And we said the other privileged. And that's where now the problem is, because when the privileges leaves as other privileges, then they forget their rights. Amen? They give up their rights. They give up their advantages. They give up their immunities. And someone else, when that someone else realizes, takes charge. Amen? And you are now other privileged, because your rights have been taken by someone else, because you do not understand or you do not believe that you are that privileged. Anyway, let's continue. Number one, said you are special people. Why are you special? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pause there. What are we supposed to be doing? The reason why we are privileged, the reason why we are a chosen generation, the reason why we are a loyal priesthood, the reason why we are classified as a holy nation, his own special people, is that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness. In other words, we may broadcast, hallelujah, to the rest that are not as privileged as we are. We are not being proud, but we are telling them there is something special that happened to us. We were once where you are. We were in darkness, but we are not bragging about it. We are proclaiming the goodness of him who chose us, who called us. Amen. It is his doing. It is not my doing. It is the Lord who has done it. And as we do that, we are proclaiming, broadcasting, testifying about him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. One as if you were. You see, when you are privileged and you understand these facts, you can no longer live in darkness, George. When you understand where he took you from and what you now have become, that you are not the very one that was had no name. Today you have a name. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But once, you are outside all that. But now, you are inside. So you can't but want to go out there and proclaim what you have become. But how come today, most of us don't even share our testimonies? We are not even known who we are, where we work. I'm not bragging, but I grew up at a time when you could not hide your identity if you are a Christian. Sharing a testimony, talking about the love of God, was the norm. Fellowshipping and encouraging one another was very normal. Witnessing to others was a daily thing. God help me. Because there was a time I could not be at peace without witnessing to anybody. I would bump into somebody, I would just share the love of God. I would give a lift to someone, and I would just start sharing the love of God. And before they reach where they are going, they have given their life to Jesus. I was traveling one day in a plane, and I met this gentleman in Addis as we were at the lodge waiting to board the next plane. And I started sharing the love of Christ with this man, and I learned that he was a lawyer. And as I shared the love of Christ with this gentleman, we were called to board the plane. And as we were climbing the stairs, I led him to the Lord. And we parted, but we exchanged addresses. Those days, there were no phones. There were no mobile phones. So we just exchanged our addresses and an email. The email was there. And later, he wrote me a very long email thanking me for introducing him to Christ. And he shared with me that that very morning he was a very disturbed man because he was having problems with his family and his marriage was breaking. But knowing the Lord that morning gave him peace and he was able to have some rest. Bwana asifiwe. You are a privileged lot. You have an assignment. You are surrounded by so many people that do not know the Lord. God has given you opportunities to work with people that don't know Him. You could be a doctor, you could be an architect, you could be a teacher with a whole class of students that don't know Jesus. Why don't you take the first 2-3 minutes every day and introduce Christ to your students? No one will accuse you. You are a teacher, after all. Help them to know the Lord. Help them to have what you have. Even what you have is so valuable, and you truly value what you have. Then, share it with others. You are privileged. Stop living under privileged life. Stop walking like someone who is in darkness. You have so much wealth of knowledge that you can tap from the Father, from the Son, to share with others. But you keep saying, I never went to school. Yes, you may not have gone to school. You may not have acquired that degree. But you have some level of knowledge. You do not need a degree to be able to download wisdom from above. Believe me. Those of you that do not have degrees, you know that. And those of you that have degrees, you also know that you cannot acquire wisdom in a university. You acquire knowledge. Wisdom is God-given. And that's why the scripture says, anyone who doesn't have wisdom, let him ask the Father from above to give him wisdom. Amen? So you ask, but why, how come those that don't know the Lord, they still have some level of wisdom? They have some level of wisdom, which they have acquired through experience and picking it from others. That's okay and that's allowed. But that is limited wisdom. You who is privileged can tap the heaven, can call upon the Lord God of heaven, and he can deposit in you wisdom that has never been on earth. Amen? Let me tell you a story. I think I've shared this before. A couple of years ago, not so long time ago, I think it was about 2012 or 2013 there, a small girl then shared with me a vision she had. And she said she had a vision and there was a conversation between her and God. And God started talking to her and was telling her, among many other things, that when he wanted to release knowledge, special knowledge, technology, into the world, he searched for a believer who was ready and there was none. I looked at this girl, And was wondering, what is she communicating? Why is the Lord sharing this with her? And she said, as God was searching and he couldn't get a believer, there was a young man who was a dropout in college that was busy searching for knowledge and was ready for anything. He believed a lot that he can do much in himself. And because God, it was time for God to release this type of technology to the world, because all knowledge, for your information, knowledge, including, what do you call it? AI, artificial intelligence. Some of you think it is coming from the devil. No, the devil has no knowledge of his own. He has no power of his own. Some of you think technology is something of the, you know, is something that was from the enemy. No. God releases knowledge in seasons for a particular purpose. And everything that God releases, he releases it to be used to advance his kingdom and his will on earth. The unfortunate thing is that the sons of the kingdom, most of the time, they are asleep. They are living at a privileged life. They are not searching for knowledge. Whenever they go before God, their cry is, help me to make it to heaven. Church, Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Yeah? We are worried. Shall I make it to heaven? Can I confirm to you that as long as you are a child of God, you've given your life to Jesus, it's not your business. He will take care and he will make sure you get to heaven. Amen? Of course, terms and conditions also apply. It's not going to just be automatic. But it's, as long as you are a believer, you qualify and your name is already written in the book of life. So you shouldn't be fighting for that, for the name to be written. You should be careful that the name is not removed. But as far as you are, you should be concerned, the name is already written there. So what should you be busy doing? You should be busy praying as Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, what? Hallowed thy name, yes? Let's stop there. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, the kingdom is supposed to come where? It is on earth, isn't it? And if the kingdom comes, who should be the subjects of that kingdom? Who should be the rulers of the kingdom? Bwana asifiwe. Let's go back. But you are a chosen generation. So if the kingdom comes, they will find a chosen generation. You are a loyal priesthood. When the kingdom comes, it will find a loyal priesthood. You are a holy nation, praise the Lord. When the kingdom comes to you who is a holy nation. Amen. Special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Our prayers need to change. Let's stop praying that we may make it to heaven. I can assure you, as long as you understand who you are and you read this book as a letter written to you by God, you will not miss your way to heaven. So you not need to pray for the way to heaven, because the way is already described. What you should be asking is praying that his kingdom come and now his will be done and being manifested on earth. Amen. So you should be busy praying for the kingdom, God's will to be done on earth. In the area of medicine, God's will to be done on earth. Bwana asifiwe. They've said there is no cure for this type of disease. That gives you an opportunity to engage heaven and start praying as a loyal priesthood, as a chosen generation who has a right and privilege to access heaven to pray for the cure of that disease that has no cure at this particular time. Bwana asifiwe. As you research based on the knowledge that you have received from your professors, can you be busy praying? And you know what will happen? When God finds you researching and also praying for the cure, and it is time to release the cure, that cure will come through you. Bwana asifiwe. What an honor, what a privilege. If the next, which disease has no cure? Do they have a cure for HIV yet, Daktari? Bado. Bwana asifiwe, Daktari. Amen. What an honor would it be for me, at least, if not for Daktari, to be called upon when an announcement is being made, this cure has been discovered, you know, by Dr. David. Amen. From Kenya, or Dr. Kamau, Dr. Obiel, Dr. Deodoro, whoever. What I'm trying to say, the children of the kingdom have a lot of privileges, but they do not seek. They are satisfied with the status quo. I am going to heaven. Let me go back to my story. I'm sure you are still waiting, but then what happened? So, when God found this university dropout called Bill Gates, he released the knowledge to him. Today, Bill Gates, if he's not the wealthiest person on earth today, he may be, perhaps he's among the three or the four. Do you know what's the unfortunate thing? Is that he doesn't believe in God, who gave him all that. And then you ask, but why did God give him? He did not give it to him for himself. It was for all of us. Are we not happy? Are we not using those softwares, Microsoft and all those kind of things? We use them to propagate the kingdom of God. But if Emmanuel was available that day, when God was looking for someone to deposit to, he would not have deposited to Bill Gates. It would have gone to the child of God, to the chosen generation. But when we leave, like other privileged people, we lose out on God's benefits. So I'm challenging you, whoever you are, a believer, don't sit down. There is so much that God wants to download. There are so much blessing that God wants to release to this country. But many of us are looking at the PSs, CSs, blaming them, blaming the president, those that are in authority. But they are not chosen generation. They are not loyal priesthood. They are not loyal holy nation. They are not special people before God. You are the one who is special. Why don't you challenge God and tell God you want to come up with the ways of ensuring that this country, every citizen, has enough food? Amen. God will give you the skills. If you challenge God and tell God you want to eradicate malaria completely from the world, instead of praying for more bread, more houses, more cars, you know, see where we miss it. Because those things can come when we petition and receive the main thing. Do you think Bill Gates prays for cars? Spends sleepless night thinking about which car he needs to buy or to drive? Let's be honest. He doesn't. He just wakes up and says, okay, can you order that? All right. We need to move out of this house. It doesn't bother him trying to imagine what type of house should I buy. But what about us, children of God? What is bothering us? Things that would have come to us if we understood our position and allowed God to use us to release his favor and blessings upon us. But because we didn't, we are underprivileged. Our rights have been taken. Someone else has taken our immunities. We are never consulted when they see to decide to make decisions and policies concerning the Lord. When was the last time that you saw a believer being consulted, or them saying, let's hear from the church? A good case was the coronavirus, whatever. We were never consulted. We just saw it in the news. No more church going forward. Yeah? We were never considered as an essential service to the community. Why? Because we have no voice. Why don't we have voice? We have no resources. We have no people that can speak on our behalf. Just to sanitize it, to make sure that the policies, the rules were followed. Then they quickly crafted some religious groups to come together. Not to protect us, but to ensure that we follow what WHO says. Now, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't have followed those things. I'm simply trying to tell you, perhaps if there was someone who was seeking God at that particular time concerning some health matters, the Spirit of the Lord would have revealed to the person that coronavirus, there is a virus that is coming. And because you are seeking my face, I want to protect the earth from this virus. But there was none. So the virus came, ravaged the earth. We lost bishops, we lost pastors, we lost our children. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. I'm challenging you. I'm not blaming you. I'm challenging myself also. These privileges, we cannot be a loyal generation. We cannot be a chosen generation. We cannot be a loyal priesthood, a holy nation that add no value to the society. The church must re-engineer itself. Time has come for us to review our doctrines. Yes. Because when you got saved, the message that was delivered to you was you get saved so that you can escape hell. Yeah. And because you feared hell, particularly for me, I feared hell. Because I was taught about hell when I was still in a very young child in school. But I was not taught about heaven. So I caught about hell and I feared hell. And therefore, when I got an opportunity to escape hell, I gave my life to Jesus. And I thought, now I am on my way to heaven. I've escaped hell. And I focused myself on that way. I lived praying and seeking God that I may make it to heaven. Yet, my name was already written in the book of life the day I accepted the Lord. But I've spent so many years because I do not understand the privileges that are in the scriptures. That's why I say the church needs to regenerate itself. Yes, we shall preach the gospel. We'll talk about hell, yes, because those who reject, they will go to hell. But the message of the gospel is more of love than of judgment. Do you agree with me? And that's what we need to present to the people. But as we present this, we also need to also present solutions for their problems. Because you are preaching to hungry people. You are preaching to people who are poor. You are preaching to people who have no houses. You cannot be telling them the government will come and do it. The church need to arise and understand it is highly privileged. It has special rights. It has advantages over the kingdoms of this earth, over nations and societies. And we need to arise and take our position. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. We spent so much time on this particular verse. You may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does the Bible say? Who is the light of the world? Please answer me, church. We are. Amen. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Which means if you are the light of the world, you should be leading. Amen. In medicine, you should be leading. In law, you should be leading. In governance, you should be leading. In businesses, you should be leading. You are a banker. You should be the best banker that has ever lived. Why? Because in you there is light. And that light shines in darkness. Amen? Hamunipedi leo? Hamunipedi. Na waona tu. Muna changa tu. Kwan pastor leo? I'm telling you the truth, and I know the truth sometimes. In a pinch. In a choma, eh? In our choma. Unajiangalia, unasema, kweli, should I be where I am today? Should I be begging? Because let's be honest. The church is a beggar. No wonder they say, as poor as a church mouse. Because there is no resources in the church. But I'm challenging you. You are well-educated people. You are able people. You are full of knowledge. You have wisdom. Go out there and work with your own hands. No one should be begging. Bwana asifiwe. Soon I think we shall close the mambo ya kupatia watu chakula. Why? Because we don't want you to be dependent. We want you to be independent. That's why we say, and I told the welfare team, please check those people who keep coming. If they are so regular, find out why. Once in a while, we shall help you because tough times come. Yeah? But you should not become a beggar. You should not become a parasite. You should not depend on being given all the time. And many in church behave like that. You know, the other day, I told someone I'm looking for someone to hire, to employ in my home village, my farm in the village. I farm. And I needed a worker. And I said, this time I want a Christian. I want someone who is born again. Why? Because the fellows that I have, they are drinking. And they have started drinking even during the day. So, which means I'm suffering. Because when they go to drink, their output is going to be less, isn't it? So I said, I need one who is a believer. And you know, as when I was talking with a friend of mine, he said, I hope you get one. Because believers are known to be very lazy. Now, brethren, that is not far-fetched. Some of you have employed some believers from this church. And I want to say it on pulpit. You've come to me to tell me, Pastor, because I challenge them, I say, why can't you employ some? We have so many young people here who have no jobs. Some of you have been employed, but you did not perform. Yet, you are a loyal priest, chosen generation, special people. What's going on? When we are lazy, God cannot use us. No wonder there was nobody when he was looking for someone to bless with special knowledge in technology. Bill Gates is not a lazy fellow. At least he may not be a believer, but I can assure you that guy is not lazy. He is busy thinking and he is higher now involved with vaccinations. He's moved to agriculture. He doesn't sit. His mind is active. But there's a believer who has gone to school, who is satisfied with that one degree. Doesn't want to challenge himself or herself. Because we are waiting to go to heaven. Brethren, you'll be shocked when you get to heaven. When the Lord opened for you the book and he shows you the list of the benefits and the blessings that are meant to be yours when you are on earth. But you never access any one of them because you did not seek them, you did not ask for them, you did not work for them, you are satisfied with who you are, the retro position that you hold. I'm challenging you. The next promotion in your company, you should be the one being promoted. Amen? Why am I saying this? Because when that happens, the church is growing and the Lord is being glorified. That's what we are saying. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. How will you proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness, in poverty, in luck, when you are mediocre? We need to arise. We are not just going to heaven. We are supposed to dominate and manage the resources on earth. When God created Adam, what did he tell him? I give you what? Dominion. Now you don't even want to quote scriptures because inachoma. Ukweli una kuchoma. He said, I've given you dominion over what? Birds of the air, fish on the seas, animals, a dominion over everything. In other words, he was given rulership, leadership to govern the resources of the earth. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus Christ, I know he sinned and he lost the privilege. But when Jesus came, he came to restore the privilege what had been lost. Is that not what it says? Yeah? I'm talking to Skia. He took the keys from the devil. Amen? The keys of the kingdom, he took them. He handed them to the church. And he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? The devil has no more authority over the church of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. That's what it means. When he says, I will build my church. on this confession, Peter, that I am the Christ, this knowledge of knowing that I am the Christ, this wisdom and understanding of the church knowing that I am the Christ, then I'll build my church. I'll build my kingdom. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Na tunatetemeshwa na malaria, na kansa, na kukosa chakula, kukosa kasi, all these things, yet we are the church that has been built by Jesus, and the gates of hell should not prevail, but they are prevailing. Where is the problem? And I'll tell you where the problem is. Before we do that, go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, continue, even when we were dead in trespasses. Dead in trespasses, but we were loved. Made us alive. Made you what? Alive. Together with Christ. What has God done? Is this not a privilege? Yeah? There was a time we were dead in sin. We had no hope. We were lost. We were poor. We could not think straight. But now he has come. He has come to us. He has made us alive. Are you living or dead? You are alive, isn't it? Christ has made you alive. I mean, God has made you alive. Together with Christ, by grace, you have been saved. Amen. Are you saved? Anybody who is saved in this house, let's see your hands. Are we saved? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are going to heaven, but at a privileged on earth. Come on. I love you, good people. But I want you to arise. Those projects, yeah, you must undertake them. Amen? Don't say again that you don't have money. Your Father in heaven has everything. He has made you alive together with Christ. Go to him and ask him, where should I get the money from? And he will tell you, go to so and so, go to that bank, go to that institute. He will give you ideas. Let's continue. 6. And raise us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ. Hold it there. He did not only save us. Amen. He raised us up. Look at your neighbor. Just look at your neighbor for me. I know I don't tell you to tell your neighbor. But for this one, for this one, just allow me to ask you to tell your neighbor. He raised us up. Tell your neighbor, he raised us up. Okay, now tell him. He raised you up. Together and made you sit together. In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, where are you seated? Now, please, brethren, I'm not just sharing a message for the sake of it. I am communicating and I'm challenging us because we need to arise and stop living underprivileged lives. God is not happy with us as a church. He is not happy with a church that is so weak. He's not happy with a church that has no voice in the world today. Bwana sifiwe. When Jesus was on earth, the leadership recognized that something has happened, something new is taking place. And even when Herod summoned him, he said, go and tell that fox. He had the courage to call the king a fox. Jesus was not being rude. He was simply exercising his authority and declaring, my time is not yet. I have an assignment to complete. Bwana sifiwe. If today a call comes from State House, na utaanza kutetemeka kwanza. Ninaitua nini? Naitua nini? Sasa ni nini mefanya? You start checking what you have done. That should not be the case. State House should be consulting you as a believer because of what you carry. The wisdom you have, no one else has it. In the area that you are in, you are the expert and highly qualified, both in education, in wisdom, in knowledge, and in understanding. Amen? That's who you are. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are seated with Christ. You are seated with who? With Christ. Just go to chapter 1 of Ephesians. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, I think verse 16. Let's go to verse 16. Okay. 17. All right, let's go to 15 to start there. It's just, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Hold it there. What is Paul doing? He heard there were believers in Ephesians. And he's telling them, since the day I heard about you, I have not ceased to pray for you. What is he praying God for them? One, that the Father of glory. Amen. He's not praying that the king of the day or the president may favor them. He is saying, the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Amen. We said what? Wisdom comes from above. So if God gives you the spirit of wisdom, then you have the wisdom within you. And revelation in the knowledge of him. Just change to NLT, New Living Translation. The glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Spiritual wisdom will not only help you with wisdom, but gives you as insight that you may grow in the knowledge of God. Now, if you grow in the knowledge of God, amen, that you become so knowledgeable in the matters of God, I want to ask you, would you be knowledgeable in other matters? The answer is yes. Be confident. God will give you wisdom to deal with anything that comes your way. Doctors will respect you although you are not a doctor. Because for those diseases that they are not able to deal with, they will bring their patients to you and you speak the word of God and they shall be healed. doctors will respect you. One time, one of our bishop, George Kichana, those days was a TAV evangelist, and I pray that before he retires, he would go back to evangelism. He was highly anointed. He went to Jerusalem. In a crusade, he preached the gospel. People started getting healed. And the following day, the nurses in the hospital and the doctors, they brought sick people to the crusade. That's not a story that is far-fetched. It's there. The major hospital, I don't know what it is called in. To say they brought them to the ground and they were healed. Bwana asifiwe. Bishop Kishana is not a medical doctor. Amen. But he has grown in the knowledge of God to understand that there is power. The word of God can heal. If you speak it by faith, if you pray by faith, it can heal. That was a testimony. He said, the Muslims, we are ridiculing him. They all came forward to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. The world is waiting for the demonstration of the power of God, the knowledge and the wisdom of God, and this can only come from the church. And the church is not the one that you call church. It's not the bishops, you know, that we see on the TVs that we refer to as a church, and we point at them and we forget that indeed we are the ecclesia. The church is you. Amen. So next time you are pointing a finger, blaming the church, first of all, point it to yourself because you are the church. The nation is waiting. The world is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Even creation, the Bible says, it's groaning, waiting for you to arise, to be revealed, because it is under bondage and you have the key because you are privileged. You can unlock those that are in bondage because you have the key. Amen. God help us. Okay, let's continue. I pray, the next prayer that he prayed for them, that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people. Again, remember, holy nation, those he called special people, his own, those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. God is looking at you as a rich and glorious inheritance. And it is through you that he wants to demonstrate his goodness to the world, his power, his glory. So you must be enlightened. You must understand that you are the light of the world, and that light must shine. And it has, first of all, to shine through you or in you, so that the darkness that is in you is removed. Then the others can see it and follow. I know I had said I'll not keep you for too long, but I already kept you too long. I need to release you now. But before I release you, what is the next prayer? Isn't that verse 19? I also pray that you will understand, and this is very important, brethren. Let's close with this. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Because if you do not understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him, not for others, for you who believe in him, this is the same mighty power, let's continue, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. The incredible power of God. It is important that you understand. And not only understand, you get to a level where you operate in the same. And it is said that is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Can you imagine? He was already in the grave. But death could not contain him because there was a power that God exerted on him that death could not contain him. He rose again. What is the Bible saying? It is the same power that God wants you to know and operate in. That power is yours. It is not for Benhin. No, it's not for Reinhard Bonnke. It is not for Bishop Mark Kariuki or Bishop Masinde. It's not for those people that you think. It is not for, what is it? Selman? No. It is for you, child of God. Those people, the only reason they are operating in that grace because they took time to understand the scriptures. They took time to believe the word of God. They did not doubt it because if you doubt, it will not operate. And as I cross, I'll pick it from there. Why did they fail? Why did we fail? Why are we underprivileged? What is the problem? Yet all this is written for us. These prayers have been prayed, but we are not operating in the same. Something is not right. Let's just continue with that so that at least we can close it with some positive. Now he is far above any ruler, all authority, all power, or leader. Who is above? Jesus is above any ruler, all authority, all power, all leader, all anything else. Amen. Now that is the Jesus you believe in. He is seated there. And remember, in 2:4, it said what? We are seated together with? So where he is, you are. And if every authority, rulers are under him, powers or leaders are under him, it means they are also under you as a child of God. But it doesn't just happen because it is written there. If you don't believe it, it will not happen to you. If you don't believe in yourself, it will not happen to you. You remain underprivileged. You'll be trodden upon. Yet, the people that are stepping on you are supposed to be under your feet. Anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That closes it. Is there anything that is above Christ on this world or the world to come? Which means again, is there anything can be above you when you are in Christ? Is there anything can shake you when you are in Christ? Romans says, therefore now there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you are in Christ Jesus. Arise, child of God. Take your position as a privileged person and operate in that level. God bless you. Stand on your feet. Now, if you want to clap, just clap properly for Jesus. Not for me, for Jesus. Let's stand and appreciate the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Arise and shine. Take over, Church of God. Take over where you are. Dominate that business you are in. Let no one be ahead of you. I'm not telling you to throw them away, you know, to kill them or whatever. No. But take the challenge and say, in this industry, I will lead. Amen? Because it is there. It is written for you, if you believe it. Is there anyone who is not born again in this house? Lift up your hand. If you are not born again, inua mkono wako. You are not born again, come forward quickly. Come forward quickly. Anyone who is not born again, come forward quickly. It's time to receive Christ. Thank you. He understands he cannot be privileged until he comes to Christ. Just stay there. Anyone else want to give their life to Jesus? Kuna mwingine? You've not made a mistake, my good friend. Amen? You have chosen the right path. From today, you are shifting from darkness to light. Your life will change. You'll never be the same again. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what has happened to you in life. You are changing from today. Because the one who comes into your life is greater than you, is greater than the world. Can someone come and pray with him? Yeah? Father God, as I lay my hands on this young man, I speak your blessing. We are proclaiming your glory and your power. Your power saves, delivers from darkness. We pray for this man to be delivered from darkness from today henceforth. We pray for him that his sins will be forgiven. As he has come crying and breaking before you, let this mighty God be the beginning of a new life. Jesus Christ, that this man will one day start and say that this day I chose to walk with Jesus. See what the Lord has done. May the Lord bless you. Father God, as I lay my hands on him again, I speak the favor of God. I pray for him that the Spirit of the Lord will come not only upon him, but in him. Wisdom, truth, knowledge, and understanding will be revealed in him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you. Anthony will take care of him, get to know his name and introduce him to New Life class. Let's train him to walk in this walk. Brethren, we have to change and we need to be radical. Amen? We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of who we are. Lift up your hands to Jesus. Father God, we come to you today. And we thank you because this word that you've released to us is meant to bring change. It's a new beginning in our lives. We don't want to continue to live as underprivileged, Lord. We now know our rights. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are special people. You have raised us together with your son Jesus. You have seated us where he is seated. Today we believe that's who we are. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. We will trust you, God of heaven, and will proclaim your marvelous light and goodness to the world. May you equip these dear ones that have listened to this word today and those others that will read, will hear it through the media. Mighty God, may the word carry life. Jesus, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's appreciate the Lord better than that. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify your name. We magnify your name. Now listen to me. Be doers of the word, not hearers. Don't just say today it was a great sermon. Let it change you. Amen? All of us, let's purpose to be transformed. Amen?